So today we are wrapping up our mini series on stewardship, or the joy of generosity. We talked about the joy of receiving all of God's blessings. Everything that we have comes from Him, physical and spiritual. So our house, our home, our family, our health, our job, our abilities, our talents, our skills, our faith even is a gift from God. Our forgiveness, our salvation, all of it given to us by God. And then last week we talked about managing all of those blessings, because we don't get through this life without using all of our abilities and skills and our money for ourselves and others. Well, we're wrapping up today through this very familiar story of the Good Samaritan. So let's take a look at the story today once again, but maybe with a little different eyes. As we look at it, let's think about our own context. So not 2,000 years ago, but let's think about today. So let's talk about yesterday. Did anybody watch any football yesterday? A lot of you did. Anybody watch any college football yesterday? Okay, what games did you watch? Just shout it out. Anybody? Ohio State and Michigan. Let's talk about that game a little bit. Any Michigan fans in the house? So sorry. You have my condolences. I know it was a tough day. You know, double overtime, losing, questionable officiating, so they say, and your team loses, and it's been a long losing streak. So now, let's just talk about that game for a little bit. You can all relate whether those are your teams or not, whether those are your rivals or not. You understand the tension in those kinds of games. So let's say that you are the Michigan fan, and there lying on the side of the road is an Ohio State Buckeye. The priest, the man of God, walks by, too busy to help him out. And the Levite, the temple worker, so the elder in the church, he walks by. But you, this is your sworn enemy, you stop. And you help him and you care for him. You make sure that you get him into your car, you take him to the hospital, you take him to the emergency room, you pay his bill even, and then you take him to a hotel. And you tell the manager, I'm going to pay for a two-night stay for him, and if it takes even more than that, I'll pay for all of that as well. That's really the modern context of our story. So as we look at this, we would have to say that the Good Samaritan is showing advanced Christianity, wouldn't you say? I mean, this is really hard to do. We have a hard time seeing a perfect stranger and giving them a handout. 2 days' wages, plus the use of his donkey, expensive wine, expensive oil, and the time to care for a sworn enemy. So, as we take a look at this, we need to ask, how can we hope to be like the Good Samaritan? Because that's always the point of Jesus' parables. He wants to teach us something. At the end, he says, what? You go and do likewise. Be like the Good Samaritan. Well, how can we ever hope to be like him? Well, let's go back to the context. If you remember, there was a lawyer. Now, these lawyers are not quite the same as today. Not an attorney of secular law, but rather biblical law. This is a Bible scholar. So he asked Jesus, how can I earn eternal life? How can I get to heaven? And Jesus says, well, you know the book, you know the Bible. What does it say? Well, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And he says, well, I've kept all of the commandments already. So the only thing I'm a little unclear on is, who is my neighbor? He wants to justify himself to get Jesus' blessing that he can indeed earn salvation. But after the story, he discovers that he cannot earn eternal life. He can't, and we can't. In fact, no one can. And that's the point of the whole story. Jesus is saying, you can't earn your way to heaven. So let's look at the parable in a little different light. Instead of you being the Good Samaritan, let's say you're the Buckeye. You're the man who's on the side of the road. And not just beaten down by robbers on the side of the road, but you are literally dead in your sin. You are spiritually dead, and a spiritually dead person can't do anything. You certainly cannot earn your way to heaven. In fact, not only are you spiritually dead, but you are also an enemy of the Heavenly Father. And then Jesus, who is the Good Samaritan, comes along. And even though you are his sworn enemy, he has compassion for you. And he picks you up and he takes you to the hospital and he takes care of you for as long as it takes. He even puts you up in this wonderful hotel. Let's even call it a mansion. And the father says, the proprietor says, "All right, I'll keep this no good scoundrel, this Buckeye, and I'll take care of him. But it's going to cost you a pretty price. It is going to be a far more steep payment than 2 days' wages. There's only one price that will do, and that is for you, Good Samaritan, to go to a cross and die." There Jesus restores us, the one who was dead along the side of the road. That's the real story of the Good Samaritan. Now, of course, we're talking about stewardship today, so let's put all of this into context for our life today. So, the Good Samaritan, of course, is Jesus. He is blessed with many things. Those three T's that we often talk about during stewardship campaigns. Anybody want to shout out the three T's? Time, right? What else? Talent and treasure. The Good Samaritan has all three, doesn't he? He uses his time. He takes the time. And then he cares for this man. He uses his skill, his ability, and the resources of his money, his animal, oil and wine, all of these commodities, and then he takes care of him till he is well. Now, before we talk about what it means for us to be like the Good Samaritan, let's talk about stewardship itself. So let's talk openly and honestly today for just a couple of minutes. You know, these are those 3 weeks in the year when we, you know, we cringe a little bit. You know, we're going to have the money talk, or maybe some years we change it up a little bit and not just giving money, but giving time or serving somehow in the church. Well, here's the open and honest statement. We don't talk about stewardship enough. 3 weeks is not nearly enough. In fact, we ought to be talking about it nearly every week, because stewardship is no more than discipleship. And isn't that what Jesus was talking about in the very beginning? Loving God with your whole heart, soul, strength, and mind doesn't get you into heaven, because only the Good Samaritan can do that. Loving your neighbor doesn't get you into heaven. Only the Good Samaritan can do that. But loving God with your whole heart and loving your neighbor as yourself is how we become more like Jesus, the Good Samaritan. Let me just ask you, anybody here want to be more like Jesus? Yeah, I would. So we really don't talk enough about it, because we're afraid of what we need to do, when stewardship is really a vital part of the Christian walk. Every day we should heed those words, go and do likewise. When it comes to worship, go and do likewise. When it comes to hearing the word, go and do likewise. When it comes to loving God, go and do likewise. When it comes to your neighbor, go and do likewise. This whole idea of giving is a part of our worship. Not just the worship here. Oh, this is a part of it. This is a part of it. But not just 1 hour out of our 24, but all the hours of the day can be a part of worship. Because when you're loving God, doing whatever it is during the day, that's worship. When you love your neighbor during the day, that is worship. And yet we understand that even in this 1 hour of worship, that our giving, you know, paying attention for an hour without falling asleep, that's giving. Putting something in the offering basket, that's giving. Raising up your prayer, your song, that's giving. But who gives the most in worship? Well, God does, of course. He gave His Son, the greatest gift of all. He gives us our faith. He gives us His body and blood and the sacrament. God is the big giver, and we can never outgive God. And you know what? When you begin to give generously, something happens inside. Joy begins to well up. Remember last week? What was it that the master said to each of the servants that took the talents and managed them wisely? What did he say? Come and share your master's joy. You see, it gave God great joy in giving His Son. You know that passage in the Bible, it says it is more blessed to give than to receive? We don't like hearing that, but it's true. And God already knows it. All He wants in stewardship is to teach you how to give so you can receive the joy He already has. We get it in a small way all the time. Anybody ever put anything into the Salvation Army kettle at Christmas time? Probably felt pretty good about that. Anybody ever help a neighbor by bringing over that nice Lutheran casserole when they were sick? A lot of you have done that. How'd you feel about that? Probably pretty good. That's joy. The parable is just telling us that we can have this same kind of joy every day of our life as we share the blessings that God has given to us. So letter C there, circle this one, put a big highlight around it. Stewardship, the management of all of God's blessings, simply helps us to grow. Anybody here want to grow? Maybe you're past that point. Parents, what did you do when your kids were little? Anybody do this? At your house? Take the little one, put them up against the wall, and draw the little line over there. You do that? Right. Now, the next year, what were you hoping for, kids? To be shorter? No. You want to grow. You want the line to be higher, and parents did too. And then the next year, you want a little higher, and the next year a little higher, and the next year a little higher, and pretty soon they're all bigger than you, right? That's what we want for our kids. Well, shouldn't we want that spiritually too? Of course. Stewardship helps us to grow spiritually. And not only that, stewardship is a measure of our growth. It's like those little lines. Oh, we're growing, we're growing, we're growing. Well, how do we know? Because the line's higher. Well, how do you know spiritually? When you give more, it means you trust God more. And when we trust God more, our faith grows and we become more and more like Jesus. Let me give you just a silly analogy here that hopefully you'll remember. Anybody remember Hans and Franz? Hans and Franz, Saturday Night Live. Come on, you can admit it. Raise your hand. All right. If not, State Farm commercials in that weakling Aaron Rodgers, right? Sorry, Packer fans. It's in the commercial. You know, he's got the weakling little arms. And what do Hans and Franz do? They say, we are going to what? Pump you up, right? And they take him through all these exercises, and eats all these protein shakes and throws all the eggs in the blender and eats all this stuff. And by the end of the commercial, what does he look like? He looks like me, right? Okay, not that part. I told you it was a silly analogy. But he's all pumped up, isn't he? Now, what's reality? Does that happen in 30 seconds? Of course not. Of course not. You got to start out with some little weights and then some medium weights and then some bigger weights, and it takes months and years to develop that kind of a body. Any marathon runners in here? Anybody run a marathon? Did you start out running 26.2 miles on the very first day? Say no. Of course not. For me, if I were to run a marathon, I would first have to get up off the couch, then break into a walk, and then a jog, and then run a couple miles, and a few more. You have to build your way up to the 26.2. What happens to us when we see Hans and Franz all beefed up, or if we see the marathon runner and we say, I want to be like that, I want to do that? Well, we get discouraged if that is our finish line. But if we get off the couch and we walk around the neighborhood, we find some encouragement. And then we run a little farther and we're encouraged even more. And then we begin to train until finally we can run that marathon. It's the same in stewardship. This week in the mail, hopefully you got something that looks like this. If you didn't, we have extras. 2017 stewardship pledge card. It says, in gratitude for God's blessings, we, our family, will contribute during the year 2017 as follows. And then you're going to fill that in. And if you think about being like Hans and Franz, or if you think about running that stewardship and you yet haven't gotten off the couch, it's rather daunting. So let's do this, wherever you're at. If you're on the couch, get up. Begin to walk. If you're running 5 miles, how about 6? If you're running 7, how about 10? If you're getting close to finishing the marathon, why not go all the way? You know, when it comes to physical fitness, we often have a personal trainer. Hopefully not like Hans and Franz, who are always yelling at you, but maybe someone to encourage you and to motivate you. You've got a personal trainer. He is the Good Samaritan. He's been there. He's done that. Everything that you've gone through. And he promises that he will give you the joy and the motivation that you need to take your next step. I know a lot of you will be tempted not to fill this out for next week. I know a lot of you will be tempted not to show up next week so you don't have to turn this thing in. Well, I know where you live. Some of you think the church really doesn't need our money. And you're right. We don't. God doesn't need your money. God owns everything. This church has been going for 145 years. I think it can make one more at least without you. No, the stewardship is for you. Because God wants you to experience the joy of generosity that he already knows. He gave his only son the most blessed gift anyone has ever received. He wants you to share in the master's joy as you grow and become more like the Good Samaritan. Not to earn your salvation. He's already done that. But to grow in your faith, may you also grow in your stewardship. For Jesus' sake, amen.